Well, we've been talking a lot today that it is Thanksgiving Sunday, which is a really special day. This weekend is kind of a fun one family-wise for us. We have my sister's birthday was this weekend. My brother-in-law's birthday is this weekend. And it's also a special day for us personally as a family. We've been marking a lot of things because, late summer, early fall is a really special time for us. This is the weekend 3 years ago when we finally made it home after our adoption journey in Ukraine and spending about 10 weeks away from home. And we finally made it home on Thanksgiving weekend. And so it's a special way for us to always remember just how thankful we are for the good things that God has done for us. I remember sitting in Ukraine, actually, when we were there. And it was one of those things where, everything just moves at the speed of government, right? And if you guys have done anything trying to get government paperwork done, you know what that means. But we were sitting there in Ukraine, and we were told that getting Max's visa for him would take about a week. And we had gotten into Kiev, and we were kind of going through the process, waiting and waiting and waiting, and just days kind of kept ticking by. And we knew we were getting close to Thanksgiving weekend, and for the Canadian embassy there, that would be a long weekend, right? They would still celebrate Thanksgiving. So we're thinking, if it doesn't happen Friday, we're here at least until Tuesday or Wednesday, right? Like, it's not just another day. It's going to be like another almost a week. And I remember getting that call on the Friday, and we were like literally jumping up and down in the apartment. We were so excited just to get the call. We go pick up the visa, got our planes out, or flight out that on Saturday, and we were able to go home. And it was such a sweet thing to be able to celebrate Thanksgiving with our families in Vancouver before coming back up here just after the Thanksgiving weekend. But just such a great thing to give thanks for as we get into this weekend. Now, I want to ask you guys today, I know we gave you some quiet time earlier to reflect on this and give thanks for some things, but what is it that you are thankful for this Thanksgiving? Just call out a few people. What's something you're thankful for? The cross? Family? Only two people are thankful. That's not really boding well for this afternoon. Forgiveness? For health? Yeah. We could probably go on and on. I'm saying that in faith because I haven't heard a lot of answers. But as I know your journeys over this last year, I know there's a lot of stuff to be thankful for. I know there's a lot of ways that we've seen God at work. There's a lot of things he's been doing. There's a lot of blessings we've experienced even over this last year, even sometimes in the midst of a lot of hardship. And it's great to be able to give thanks to God for the good things he's done. But one of the things that I notice, a lot of times when we come to Thanksgiving and, sometimes at lunchtime or dinner time when we're having our big meal, we'll take time and go around the table and say, what are you thankful for? And people will say what they're thankful for. And a lot of times, what we're thankful for is the people in our lives, right? We're thankful for the friends we have. We're thankful for our families. We're thankful for the people that make up so much of the joy in our life. That's a huge part of what we're thankful for. And on this Thanksgiving weekend, we're going to be talking about what it means for us to live together as a group of people that Jesus has brought together into community. A group of people that we can be thankful for because of the blessing that we can share with in each other's lives. Now, if you're joining us for the first time this morning, you're kind of jumping in the middle of a series that we've been doing through September and October. As a series we've been doing on the life in the Holy Spirit, what it means to live life in the Holy Spirit. And this is coming from a letter that Paul wrote to the church in Corinth 2,000 years ago or so. And we talked in the month of September about sort of just the makeup of the church. Now we're talking really about life in the Spirit and what it means to be empowered by the Spirit of God, what it means to live in community with the Spirit of God and with each other. And that's kind of where we're jumping in today. We're talking about what it means to live life in the Holy Spirit as part of an interdependent, connected community of God. And so that's where we're going to be today. We're going to be reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, kind of the from verse 12 to the end of it. So if you have your Bibles here, you can open up to that spot. And just before we read that together, we're going to pray and just ask God to speak to us today through his word. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for so many things, but we thank you too for your word to us. I thank you, Lord, for the way that you speak to us in the midst of everyday life that we walk through. God, the way that you speak words of life and hope, Lord, that you just continually speak into our lives. And we just pray, Lord, that as we open up your word again today, that God, you would speak to us, that you would open up our eyes to see anything in the text that you want us to see. Lord, whatever it is that you want to say to us, may we see it today. Give us ears to hear your Holy Spirit as you speak to us today, Lord. Give us minds that understand what it is you're talking about, and help us to have hearts that are responsive to you. Not bogged down by all the stuff that we would put in the way, but help us to be responsive to whatever it is, whatever little step you want us to take today. May we be open to it. pray, Lord, that we hear your words here this morning and not mine. For you alone have the words of life. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, we're going to start off, we're going to be reading this passage in a few different sections. And just again, remember, this is a letter, right? This is a letter that Paul, who was an apostle, a follower of Jesus, wrote to a church. He had led a lot of these people to Jesus. He had taught them for a couple of years in Corinth. He's gone away now. He's writing a letter back because of some of the issues going on there and a lot of questions they had about how they should live life in the Spirit. And so that's really how Paul's writing this letter back to them, to give them some corrections, to offer some advice, to say, here's what you should be doing. And so this is what he says about living life in the Holy Spirit. Last week we talked a bit about that. We'll cover that again, but we'll catch up with some other stuff he says to them today. So just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. All right, we're going to stop there for a moment, because we want to get into this metaphor right away that Paul uses of the body. We are like a body, right? All of us together form a body. But whose body is it? It's not our body. It's not the church's body. It's Christ's body. This is the body of Jesus. The body of Jesus is one body, but it's made up of a whole bunch of different parts, right? One body. We've all been baptized by one Spirit. It's not a whole bunch of different spirits. One Spirit. Talked about that last week. We are empowered by the one Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. He's the one who empowers us for life. We're all part of the same body, the same community when we follow Jesus. We're all part of his body. But within that body, there are many parts. There's a whole lot of diversity. There are many backgrounds. You know, Paul talks about, you know, slave or free, Jew or Gentile, right? I mean, those were huge cultural divides, massive cultural divides. And even within our church and the broader global church, there is a whole lot of diversity. There are many different backgrounds, many ethnicities, many different circumstances we've all come from and we all live within. But we're all one in the body of Christ. He brings us all into one body in unity. Even within our church, we see a lot of diversity. Now, you may look around and go, it's not really that diverse, Dave. You know, we all kind of look a little bit alike. But there's a lot of diversity within our church. We have some people who are churched, some people who are not churched. Some people who are from broken families, some people from whole families. Some people who grew up in tremendous hardship, some people who grew up in tremendous blessing. We have a whole bunch of different ways that we've all come to this place, even within our church background. So within those of us in our church who have kind of had some church history or some church background or raising up in the church, there's a lot of diversity even there. You know, whether Catholic or Baptist or Reformed or Lutheran or E-Free or Anglican or any other one. I mean, there's lots of different denominations represented within our church. As you know, I didn't grow up in an Alliance church. I grew up in a Baptist church. Actually, a few different strains of Baptist church. If you know denominations well, you know that not all Baptists, I was just saying not all Baptists get along. Well, that's true too, but there's some diversity, right, between Baptist denominations, right? And so there's all kinds of different traditions represented in our backgrounds as we come together to be one body. There's a whole bunch of differences between us. There's a lot of diversity, and yet we're still called to be one body. That's who we are. God has brought us together as one body. In Christ's body, we are one. And because it's his body, Paul tells us that Christ is the head of the body. He is the one who's in charge. Not the pastor, not the elders, not the denominational leadership, Christ. He's the head of the body. So, we're all part of one body, and there is variety in the body. But what else do we know about the body of Christ? What else does Paul tell us are characteristics of the body of Christ? What does it mean to be part of the body? What does it look like? Well, he goes on in that a little bit as we continue to read on in chapter 12. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. See, we all belong to the body of Christ. We all have a place of belonging in the body of Jesus. When we follow him, we are part of the body. You can't say, hey, just because I'm not like so-and-so, I'm not really part of the body. It doesn't work that way. If we're following Jesus, we are part of the body. We belong in the body. Our problem is, we can tend to make ourselves feel excluded from the body. There's lots of different ways we can do this. I'll share with you the way that I commonly do this. I do this by comparing myself to someone else in the body. And I say, you know what? I'm not really like them. They're so much better at fill in the blank. For me, I can look around at the broader context of the church, right? And I can say, man, there are so many better speakers than me. I don't know why people show up to church on Sunday morning. Like, you can go online and podcast, like, all kinds of amazing speakers from across, you know, North America, wherever you want, who are way better than me. And I can compare myself to them and say, man, I just don't measure up. And when we start to compare, we can become paralyzed because we feel like we don't measure up. Maybe we don't really belong because I'm not as good as someone else. I remember one time I was sitting with a friend talking a little bit about that struggle that I have, which is comparing myself to others and to other pastors and things like that. And we in the context, in the midst of our conversation, he referred to John 21. And if you know John 21, it's a great part of Jesus' story. After he comes back to life and he meets up with his disciples on the side of the sea and he feeds them breakfast, which is just awesome. You got to love Jesus, right? He sees them, they're seeing him, and you're all excited. And what does he do? He feeds them breakfast, right? He just loves them. And in the midst of that, he has a conversation with Peter. Now, Peter was the one who had denied Jesus three times just before, you know, when Jesus was going on trial and before he was crucified. He denied knowing Jesus three times. And Jesus goes through this whole restoration process with Peter, and he says, Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. And then feed my sheep. He does this three times to restore Peter's place. But there's this incredible little piece of the conversation at the end of this where Peter says, because Jesus is telling him about how he's going to die, right? He's telling him, you know, you're going to be led where you don't want to go and all this stuff because he's telling him how he's going to die. And Peter turns around and he sees who we think is John and he says, but what about him? Am I not like him? Isn't he like me? What's going to happen to him? Comparing. You know what Jesus says to him? What's it to you? Follow me. What does it matter who he is or what's going to happen to him? What does it matter if he stays alive until I return? Who cares? Does that have anything to do with you? Your job is to follow me. And I remember sitting in my friend's living room in Williams Lake and just being struck with that. Who cares who the other guys are who I know? It's none of your business, Dave. Follow me. When we compare ourselves to others, we often get into trouble in the body because we might think we don't belong. But Jesus just calls us to follow him. Be who he has created you to be. God has placed each part in the body. He has put you exactly where he wants you to be. He has made you exactly as he wants you to be. You don't have to be someone else. Paul, I love Paul. Paul does so many crazy things when he writes. You know, I know that some people say that's the Bible, it's just this rote thing, whatever. It's hilarious, the sarcasm he uses and the crazy things he does. What I love about this is, he takes it to the ridiculous, right? I mean, he could have just used an illustration and said, stop being stupid. But instead, he just makes it ridiculous. He says, picture this. Picture a body that is entirely an eye. Sexy, right? I mean, come on. It's just a big eye sitting out there. I mean, what good would that possibly be? Or better yet, a big ear. Because ears are really cool looking, right? What is it? The ears and the nose keep growing your whole life. Is that what they say? Like, I could be in some serious trouble when I'm older. But I can wiggle my ears, so then I could get like a real breeze going when eventually. Anyways. Can you imagine if the whole body looked like an ear? It's ridiculous. Come on. I mean, maybe the whole body like a big toe. Like, that would be really cool to look at. It's so far-fetched and stupid, right? No one would ever want that. So why do we all try to be the same in the body? Why do we all want to do the same job or look the same or have the same giftedness? How foolish is that? What good is the body if every part does the same thing? Can you imagine if all of us got up and preached on Sunday morning? We'd be here a really long time and no one would be listening to each other, right? It's no good. What good would it be if everybody wanted to be in the kitchen at a potluck and no one was out actually eating and enjoying the food? What good would that be? What good would it be if everyone greeted on Sunday and no one actually ever made it in here because everyone was out there handing out handouts? This is stupid, right? All right. God made you who you are on purpose. He has placed every part in the body for a reason. We all have space and a role and a purpose within the body, and it should not be exactly the same as everyone else because that just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. There are many parts, but they all make up one body, and all of us are necessary for the overall health of the body. Just because we may think, well, gee, there's another foot over there that's doing a way better job than me, I guess I don't need to be part of the body, doesn't mean we can just leave the body. You are needed. You are necessary. You are a part. You belong in the body of Christ. We all belong. And Paul carries this on as he keeps moving along in his letter. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. I love this metaphor of the body that Paul uses. I mean, he uses a lot of different metaphors to describe the church. Another one we've talked about is the temple of God. We're all part of this building called the temple of God that the Holy Spirit inhabits. But the body is such a great illustration for helping us understand some things about it. And the thing that it really helps us in this part is understand how connected we are. We all have a necessary part in this, and we are all totally connected. And I want to give you just a little video illustration of another way of looking at connection between parts. And here you go.
Isn't it nice when things just work?
Okay. Obviously, this is a little bit of an old commercial. I think it was 2000 that this Honda commercial was made in the UK. There is no CGI in that commercial. None. It was done with 606 takes to get that shot. 606 takes, because every time they did it, something was just a little bit off, with one part missing another and just not quite getting it. They did this over several days, obviously, to actually get this one complete take where everything worked together. You probably recognize Rube Goldberg machine, right? Complex machine that accomplishes a really non-complex task. every part in that machine was connected. It all had an important role. Just like we are all connected. We all have an important part to play. If one of the parts in that whole sequence didn't work, it wasn't going to work. If there's one part of us that's not working well, the body is not going to work to its full potential. It may not be completely stalled out, but it will not work to its complete and full potential. See, in the body of Jesus, when things are going well, when the body is working well, we can accomplish a whole lot. We see it, you know, with athletes, right? With their bodies. When they're training, they want to get to that point where when they get to the event, when they get to their race, when they get to whatever it is they're doing, they are at their peak level of performance, where every part of their body is working together to accomplish the goal. Because without that, they're probably getting beaten by someone else. We also feel it sometimes in our body, right? Just physical body. When we've been going through a long time of chronic pain. And then there's that release where the pain is no longer there. And the body feels whole. And there's an incredible sense of just relief. Something liberating that suddenly we can do so much more than we've been able to do for ages. Because now we don't have that pain holding us back. But it's amazing how debilitating it is when we start having issues with our body. It's staggering the kind of impact that it has. This past week, I was talking with someone who will remain nameless, who was bemoaning the effects of aging. Because they said, this week they had sneezed and put their back out. Right? Now, I've had back pain before, and if you've had back pain, you know how incredibly debilitating it is. Because it impacts everything you do. Whether you want to sit down, stand up, walk, move side to side, try and pick something, it doesn't matter what you're doing, you are going to hurt. And it's going to really limit the kind of activity that you can do when your back goes out. When you have that kind of pain, you realize really quickly how interconnected our bodies really are. Because one little thing can mess up the whole. One part goes out, the body can be pretty debilitated, suddenly restricting what we're able to do. And the church functions the same way. When a part of the body is suffering, the whole feels it. We all feel it when there's a part of the body that is suffering or broken. We all feel it when someone is going through a very difficult time. We all feel it when a part of the body is engaged in sin. When a part of the body is doing activities like gossip or living in unforgiveness, not restoring relationships, not living in reconciliation, we all feel that. It affects the whole. The whole is much less effective when we're going through stuff like that. When one part of the body is hurting, when one part of the body is broken, it affects the whole thing. The church definitely feels that. But on the flip side of it, when one part of the body is rejoicing, when we can celebrate something, when we could celebrate with Josiah this morning, we could all celebrate. It's awesome. It's so encouraging to have one part of the body going through something and seeing the blessing of God in their life. It encourages the whole body. That's why we do community weekends, where we do our sharing time. I know some people really hate that time, by the way. It's not a mystery to me. So if you're one of those people who really hate sharing Sundays, I know you're out there. It's okay. But here's the reason we do it, okay? Here is the actual reason we do it. Because it's not just the word of God that encourages us. It's the word of the testimony of the saints. The evil one was overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony about what Jesus has done for them, and that's an important piece that we share together. You don't just need to hear my testimony. You don't just need to hear what God's doing in Dave's life as I stand up here and drone on week after week. We need to hear it from each other. And so we take time every couple months now to share our stories. Because if one part of the body rejoices, we can all rejoice with it and all be encouraged and strengthened. It's a huge part of what we do. Because when one part of the body experiences that blessing, we can all experience the benefit of it. We are connected. We are interdependent as the body of Jesus. We're not independent. We're interdependent. We're not independent in that we function completely on our own. I know this is a tough one because, you know, I don't know, maybe our society isn't quite this much anymore, but when I grew up, independence was the goal, right? You move from dependence in your parents' house where you're dependent on them for food, for shelter, for all sorts of things so that you can be independent. You are okay on your own. You don't need anybody else. That's the goal. It's a terrible goal. It's not a bad goal to no longer be dependent on your parents. That's a really good goal, okay? But we should never try and just live life completely alone. In the body of Jesus Christ, we are interdependent. We depend on one another. We all bring something to help someone else, and they bring something to help us. We're interdependent within the body. Not just dependent. We're not just kind of leeching off someone else to get everything we need from them. We're interdependent. We all put stuff in, and we all take stuff back from it. All the parts of the body are important for that interdependence. We're all important for the common good of the body of Christ, so we can all be built up and grow up together. We all have a part in this. We are absolutely connected. And we need all the parts working together to accomplish the most that God has for us to do. Now, just in case we may have missed along the way what Paul's been saying through this whole text, he sums it up for us really nicely in verses 27 to 31. Here's what he says. Now, you are the body of Christ. You're the body of Christ, which is a part of the body of Christ across the world. And each one of you is part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles and gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. And yet I will show you the most excellent way, which you guys are going to be talking about next week. We collectively are the body of Christ. Not you as an individual, not you as an individual, not you as an individual, not me as an individual. I am not the body of Christ. We are, together, corporately, the body of Christ. Every one of us a member in it. We collectively are living out his mission in the world. It's not about our mission in the world. It's about Christ's mission in the world. He's the head of the body, of which we're all a part. We together live out his mission in the world to proclaim that God's kingdom has come and that people can be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. God has given the gifts to the church to accomplish his mission and to build us up so we can fully do whatever he's asking us to do in the world. Now, I love what he does in this text. I'm just going to back up here on the slides just for a second. He asks all these questions. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Now, okay, rhetorical question. The obvious answer is no. No, you're not. Of course you're not. Of course you're not all apostles. Of course you don't all speak in tongues. Of course you don't all interpret tongues. That's not the point. You're all part of the body, and each one has their own gift and their own place, and you all belong in the body. God's put you all together this way. But as a church, and just so you know, eagerly desire the greater gifts, he's talking to you corporately. It's plural, not singular. Together, desire the greater gifts. Desire that we would have all of the greater gifts that we need in order to accomplish all that God wants us to do as a church. We need all of the gifts. We need especially those gifts that God has set aside to build the church to accomplish his mission. So we should desire those within the church. Desire to have people with those gifts as a part of our church so we can all function together to accomplish what God has for us. Every part is needed. You are important to the body of Christ. Now, last week we saw about life in the Spirit, that when we follow Jesus, our life is empowered by the Spirit of God. Right? We don't do this alone in the sense that God has come along and empowered us. He's given us gifts. He's given us abilities. He's given us strength. He's empowered us with his Holy Spirit. He fills us with his Holy Spirit to live out the life he's called each of us to do. This week we see that life in the Spirit means being brought into an interdependent community where we all work together with all of our unique gifts to build one another up to accomplish what God has for us. And in both of these ways, we see that God hasn't left us on our own when we follow Jesus. He hasn't just said, just go do it. Good luck with that. You know, try and figure it out along the way. See if you can find me along the way. He hasn't done that to us. He empowers us with his Spirit, with his presence in us. And he invites us into community that helps to build into us so we can live out what God has for us. So what do we do with this today? Well, gee, there's a lot of ways we could go with this. There's a lot of things I could tell you that you should be doing, right? There's a lot of different things that I could encourage you to do. I could encourage you to reach out to one another and to build each other up in a relationship. I can encourage you to make sure you're using your gifts in the body. Figure out what they are. We talked a little bit about that last week. Figure out what your gifts are, what God has done in you, and then use that to help grow the body of Christ. Make sure we're all growing together because you're investing yourself in the body of Christ. I can encourage you to see yourself as God has actually created you and to see yourself that way with joy. I know there's some of us who really don't like how God's put us together. Maybe we could actually see ourselves, how God's created us with joy and with thankfulness and embrace who he's made us to be. I could encourage you to do that. I could encourage you to stop comparing yourself to everyone else. Stop saying, why am I not like? But instead of doing that, instead of just giving you a list of things that, you know, go out and do these things this week, what I want to do this morning is just give thanks. I know it's Thanksgiving. But I want to give thanks for you. I want to give thanks for the body of Jesus. I want to thank God that he has actually called us together as his body. That he has called and made each one of us and knows us by name. He knows exactly how he has created each one of you, and he has brought you together into this perfect body of Jesus Christ. I want to thank him that he's made a way for us to overcome the brokenness and sin in our world and in our lives through Jesus Christ. I want to thank him that I get to be a part of this body. Not just getting to use my gifts and invest into you, but to receive the blessing of you investing into me and into my family. I thank God for you because you are a blessing to me and to one another. And as much as there are hard things that come along the way, and oh, I can tell you, it's been a week, I'm so thankful to be a part of this expression of the body of Christ, this localized piece of the body of Christ. I know we're part of a global body, but this part of the body of Christ is such a treasure. And I just want to say thank you for being part of it. I want to thank God for you this morning. And so as we pray to kind of close off this time and prepare to head into our time of response, let me just give thanks this morning. Father, we thank you so much for you and that you have called each one of us by name. That you've created each one of us. You've created us with so much joy in your heart. Lord, you know the purpose you've called each one of us to and that you've called us to together as your body. I thank you, Lord, that you have put together all the parts needed. I thank you, Lord, for each person that you've called to be a part of this body. And just pray, Lord, that we would all know, that we would all know the joy that you have in the body of Christ. So, God, we give you thanks today. I thank you for this church. I thank you for your love and bringing us all together. And just pray your blessing on us in the days ahead, Lord. May we live as that interdependent community in your Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name.